want to thank all the brethren who have served this morning in our services via the conference call. We're very thankful that God has given us a means to come together to sing and pray and offer up a worship service to Him. And we're just thankful that faith coming by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And we don't have to see each other to believe and have faith in God. We can hear His Word for faith coming by hearing. If you're on the call this morning, you're not a member of the Church of Christ, you are very honored and you're a distinguished guest of the audience. You are the VIP. And we thank you so very much. We have an excess of 800, 900 people listening on this morning. Very excited to have so many on the call. The COVID got us at home in our rooms, in our homes. But however, the phone line is still open and people are calling to hear what thus said the Lord. For those who are not members of the Church of Christ, you need to understand you're in a dangerous place, but you must believe this book called the Bible, knowing that God has given it to us for instruction, 2 Timothy 3:16. All scriptures given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and instruction in righteousness, that the men of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good work. God gave the word, and great was the company of men that published it. God gave us His word, and in His word He teaches us that He so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth Him not shall not, you should not perish if you believe in Him. If you believe in Him, then you will obey. Jesus, after He suffered, bled, died on the cross of Calvary, He shed His blood that purchased His church, Acts 20 and then verses number 28. He purchased the church. The church became His wife. His wife, He is the husband of His wife. His wife is called the Church of Christ. It's a descriptive phrase denoting who owns it. He owns it through through His blood. He purchased His bride, the church. For those to be saved today, one must be washed in that blood, Revelation 1 and verse 5. Jesus said in Mark 16, 15 and 16, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. It's in baptism where your sins are washed away, and then the Lord then will add you to the only church in the Bible. I'll say that again. The only church you can read about in the Bible is the Church of Christ. So if you're not a member of the Church of Christ, you need to be a member of the Church of Christ. For Jesus Himself said this in John 8:21, if you die in your sins where I am, you cannot come. There are many believers in Jesus. They believe, but they're not saved. Jesus said that in Matthew 7:21-23. He said, not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father. These were believers. However, they were not saved. Jesus said, many were saying to me that day, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, done many wonderful works. Good people. Verse 23, you become the shocker and the day and the scene of the day of judgment when one would stand before God. Jesus then would profess unto them. Verse 23, I never knew you. You are workers of iniquity. In other words, you did not follow the law of God. And there are a lot of believers who are going to do what they want to do, but you got to do what the Bible says in order to go to heaven. So we're glad to have you on the call. And then there are the members of the Church of Christ, you too, if you've left the Lord fallen by the wayside, you need to repent. Amen. You got to repent and come back home. You need to come home. Galatians 6:1 tells us, if a brother be overtaken in a fall, ye who are spiritual, restore. You don't need to be restored if you could never fall. And even Peter refers to one who knew the truth and went back as a pig who went back to mud and a dog who would eat his own vomit. It's a gross sight to God for a man to know the truth and to leave it. So if you're on the call this morning and you're a member of the Lord's church, you need to come home with an invitation. Make your confession and come home like the prodigal son. This morning, continuing our study of the book of Revelation. Hope you've enjoyed the study of Revelation. We're in chapter number 11. And last week we learned that in chapter 10 there was a little book in the hands of a huge angel. Go back and listen to that one, that sermon from last week. And today in chapter 11, that angel is still there, an angel. John went to that angel and he wanted that little book. John heard some thundering, some voices from thunder, and God told him not to write. But when he handed him that little book, he told him he had some work to do. There was still some writing to be done, meaning John was on the Isle of Patmos, but the book of Revelation was not completed. He had to finish writing this vision The vision came from Jesus Christ. Jesus gave John the vision, and John was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Now, chapter 11. John said, let's go there now. You got to go to the scene and kind of listen to John. He's looking at this huge angel with his foot on the right side of the earth, left side, on the sea and on the earth. Huge. Think about going to the moon. They look back at the earth. Imagine something so huge that he could have his foot on one side of that earth. Just think about that. When they go to the moon, they can look down, you see a round earth. But that angel was feet was on both sides of it. That's a huge angel. This angel had a little book in his hand. That little book I proved last week that is a mystery of God. But it will be revealed to mankind. And we got the little book. It's called the Bible. Revelation. What was mysterious is no longer mysterious. It's revealed. And the only thing that's not revealed is what God didn't want John to write. In Deuteronomy 29:29, the secret things belong unto the Lord. Watch this now. Those things which are revealed belong to us. We got everything we need to know what to do to be saved. I'm going to give you this too. You don't have to have no PhD. You don't have to have a high school education. You just got to have common sense, just basic common sense. And that is to just believe what the Bible says. When you believe it, you will have no problem with baptism. Jesus said, he that believe it, he'll baptize, shall be saved. You can't miss that. You can't miss that. As the famous Marshall Keeble would say, people in the insane asylum whose minds come and go can catch it if they miss it going. They can catch it. You can understand what you must do to be saved. So here it is now. John said this. That angel give me meaning apostle. Now John was an apostle. That's going to be important to this study this morning. He's talking to one of the apostles who will be one of the writers of the New Testament. He give me a reed unto a rod, like unto a rod. Now remember symbolism. That symbols never symbolize themselves. I started this in chapter 1. That's why people think Revelation is so mysterious. They're kind of trying to make the symbol mean what they mean. Symbols never symbolize themselves. So we say like unto. That don't mean it was like it was. And so now watch this in verse 1. What do you see, John? Angel. What do? He gave me a reed, like a rod. Then John said, and the angel stood saying, rise. So the angel said, rise and measure. Now John, the apostle, will measure the temple of God and the altar. The temple of God and the altar. The temple of God and the altar. And them, notice what it is. There's a them that worship in the temple of God and the altar. Now, this John would measure, have a divine measurement. He's given this reed, a stick, told by the angel. Now, I want y'all to think about this now. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, in verse 16, now you got to take a lot of notes this morning. I got a lot of Bible to give you. He said, know ye not, Paul says, know ye not that ye are the temple of God. And the spirit dwell in you. See, our body is an earthly tabernacle. And when we obey the spirit, we're putting in the word of God into us. So we become the temple of God. And those of us who are members of the Lord's church, who have obeyed the spirit, 1 Corinthians 12:13, for by one spirit are we all baptized into one church. John 16:13. Jesus said, how be it when he, the spirit of God, will come, spirit of truth, he will guide you in the altar. So when you obey the Bible, you're obeying the scripture. When you obey the little, you're obeying the spirit. When you obey the little book, you're obeying the spirit, which guided, notice this, and that's going to be important. It guided the apostles and the prophets so that men and women like you and I could obey the Spirit and the temple. We can go to the altar for the purpose of worshiping. Think with me now. Just listen. Christians, in John 4:24, Jesus said, God is a spirit, and they that worship him, watch it now, he said, must worship him in spirit and in truth. An altar is a symbol, a place rather, of worship. Y'all remember that in Genesis chapter 8, when Noah was to build the ark, the Bible says in Genesis 8:20, Noah built an altar unto the Lord and took every clean beast and every clean fowl and burnt it and offerings unto the altar. See, we come to the altar today, but not like Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob did. You remember when Abraham and Genesis 22:9, and came to a place. They came to the place which God had told them of. See, God done told us the place that we must be in to worship. Now, let me go to the first century, 21st to the first century, when the Christians be first were called Christians. Now, when they first obeyed God in Acts chapter 2 and verse 47, the Bible says, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. So the saved are in the place of worship, and the altar today is in worship. We are in the church. Those of us in the church go to the altar. That's why we make our offerings. This is where we worship. We offer to God a sweet smelling savior. We offer to God worship. He's worthy of our worship. So did Abraham. Now watch what Abraham did back in Genesis 22:9. That was the place which God told him to go. Now here's what I'm trying to get you to see. You got to be in that place today. I'm going to show you that. I'm talking to particularly to those who are not members of the Church of Christ. I'm not talking about the building. I'm talking about the place that God says you must be in order to worship. Now Abraham obeyed God. Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him upon the altar upon the wood. So that was the place of worship. See, he had to go to the altar to make a sacrifice, and so must we. So here we got the worship. And now in verse 2, but the court which is without, that's outside of the place of worship, the temple, leave out. He told him, the court which is without, I lead that out of the temple, and measure it not. Now we tell John, don't measure that one. For it, notice who it's given to. It is given unto the Gentile, and the holy city shall they tread under the foot. 42 months. And now to them that worship, the measure shall be applied to those who today profess to be Christians. It will be seen. The court, which is without the temple, and back in the Old Testament, those Gentiles were outside. See, it was Judaism. The outer court, the court of the Gentiles, the type of the world, the measurement does not relate to the world so much as it does the church. So what we're saying is that there was a time when the Jews and Gentiles, let's look at it like today. It's probably appropriate for me to say this today, with what we call racism. You know, let's go back to the first century. I don't have time to deal with all that, but there was a separation between the Jew and Gentile, just like blacks and whites today. You see that thing. But however, God never see color. 1 Samuel 16:7. God looks on the outward appearance. Man looks on the outward appearance. You and I see color. God looks on the heart. So be careful when you start hollering about black and white, blue and greens. God see blood. We're all one nation of blood, made of blood. You cut the white man's skin and the black man's skin. Red blood. God looks at the heart, the mind. Don't get caught up in looking at skin colors. Let me be real clear. The problem today, this world's greatest problem, is not skin. It's sin. S-I-N. So I slowed that down right there. Because if you got a racist heart and you hate people, God see you. So the world can only get better when the hearts change. When people start loving people, regardless of color, regardless of nationality, we're all one in Christ. Jesus said in Matthew 28:18, go teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. So there was a time when the Jews and Gentiles couldn't come together in the same place. They were considered unclean. But he said, now notice what John says, what the angel said, for it is given unto the Gentiles and the holy city shall they tread underfoot 42 months. Now, it's pretty clear to me this is talking about the Gentiles would be in the holy city. By the holy city, it means Jerusalem, the new Jerusalem. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 22, the Hebrew writer said, you have come unto Mount Zion, and the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels. In Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 1, the Bible said, the word that Isaiah, the son of Amoz, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. Isaiah chapter 2 and the verse is number 2. Isaiah chapter 2 and the verse number 2. The Bible says there, and it shall come to pass in the last day that the mount of the Lord's house shall be established above, established in the top of the mountains, and all nations shall flow unto it. In Daniel chapter 2 and the verse is number 44. Listen to this. And Daniel 2 and verse 44, Michael 4 and verse 1. These are prophecies, and that they are prophesying that something was going to happen in Jerusalem. It was going to happen in the city of Jerusalem. Things was going to change in Jerusalem. There's a holy city, the Jerusalem, where everybody had to go. They had to go to Jerusalem. God told them it was all going to happen in Jerusalem. In Daniel chapter 2 and the verse number 44, the Bible says here, in the days of these kings shall the king of heaven set up a kingdom shall never be destroyed. Notice what he said there. He said, set up a kingdom shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people. But it shall break in pieces all these kingdoms, and it, there's an it, shall stand forever. Something's going to happen in Jerusalem. Jesus said in Luke chapter 24 and the verse 46, he told his apostles, thus it is written, and does it behoove Christ to suffer and rise from the dead the third day? And he says, notice what he says, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations. Watch what it says now, beginning at Jerusalem. Watch this. He said, and ye are witnesses. That's key to this lesson this morning. Telling his apostle, you are witnesses of these things. See, it was what God done is that he made it where the Jew and the Gentiles would all be in one place, and it would all start in Jerusalem. It would start in Jerusalem. And this is very important. Isaiah 52:1, it said, awake, awake. Put on that string, O Zion. Put on thy beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. What did he say in Revelation 1? It is given unto the Gentiles and the holy city. There's a holy city. The new Jerusalem is where it's all going to take place. He said, now watch for Isaiah, back to Isaiah 52. Isaiah 52. Isaiah said, put on that strength, O Zion. Put on that beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. For henceforth there shall no more come into these the uncircumcised, that's the Gentile, and the unclean. Galatians chapter 4, verse 26. The Bible says, but Jerusalem is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 28. There's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither bond nor free. There's neither male nor female. Watch this now. But we are all one in Christ. Ephesians 3 and verse 1. Paul said it. Now remember, apostles and prophets. Ephesians 3:1. Paul said, for this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, know who it's for? For you Gentiles. See, the Gentiles did not have the same access as the Jews. So Paul then comes and talks to the Gentiles. He tells them, you heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given to me, to you were. See, you and I are under the dispensation of grace of God. It was given to the apostles. See, when Jesus came, they seen him coming. They called him, John said, behold, the Lamb of God. He also said he was grace and truth. So Paul said the grace of God came when Jesus hung on the cross. Are we saved by grace? Yes. Jesus was grace. But we must be obedient to his grace, to that grace. For ye have heard, Paul said. He's talking to these Jews. Of the dispensation of the grace of God which is given to me, you were, how that by revelation, there is that mystery revealed. Revelation is called scripture today. It's called revelation or revealed information. By revelation, he made unknown, Paul said, he told me the mystery. See, Paul was guided by the Holy Spirit as apostle. Paul said, as I wrote a four and few words, what we have in words today is the revealed mystery written by Paul, the apostles, and the prophets. Where it is, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. See, many people, they are not going to be saved because they don't ever read the Bible. They go to some reverend, he get up there on the stage hooping and hollering, use one scripture, and then the rest of it, that type of stuff. There's no teaching in that. You got to read the scripture. The mystery has been revealed. Paul said in verse 5, which in other ages were not made known to the sons of men, as it is now revealed. Notice who is revealed to the holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. So the Spirit guided the apostles and prophets to write what we have today in the New Testament, Old Testament and New Testament, which I'm telling you, watch what Paul said. Verse number 6, Ephesians 3. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Wherefore I made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by effectual working of the power. Let me get this. So when I preach today the death, burial, and resurrection, the crucified Savior, that's the good news that would bring all men into one church. The one church is the church of Christ. When you preach the gospel, you're preaching Christ as the head of his body. He has but one body, and every part of our body is a member. Just like you got one head. You got a head, and your head instructs your feet, your fingers and every part of your body what to do. The church has a head. It's Christ, and he instructs every member what to do. And every member of my body follow my head's instructions. That's real simple. So now Jews and Gentiles would all come into one place. It would be called the church. And the church, they couldn't come in unless they believed the gospel. They had to believe the gospel. Now, this is consistent with what Jesus commanded in Mark 16:15. He's going to all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth is baptized shall be saved. You say, Brother Brooke, they're all in one body. Yeah, Ephesians 4:4 says there's one body. Ephesians 1:22 tells us the body is the church. Colossians 1:18 says the body is the church. Colossians 1:24 says the body is the church. So here it is. In Revelation 11, there will be a holy city, and the Jews and Gentiles, the Jews who used to be outside of the city, are now going to be in the holy Jerusalem. And they tread on the foot 42 months. So there are a lot of scripture. I know that. But I want y'all to know something. Let me simplify for you. All he's saying here is that all men would be in one church. It's called the Church of Christ. Verse 3. I mean Revelation. I will give power to my two witnesses. There it is. That's the two witnesses, the sermon title this morning. I'm going to just give it to you up front. The two witnesses. You've got the Old Testament and the New Testament. And they shall prophesy. So there's prophecy in the Old and New. Some have said the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed. The New Testament is the Old Testament, here it is, revealed. The two witnesses, I'm saying, are the Old and New Testament. And they shall prophesy. 2,100, three score days, clothed in sackcloth. Remember, I talked about symbolism and numbers. Never symbolize itself. And today, one day is to God as 1,000 years. So when people try to put on numbers, you just kind of got to ignore that. This is a book of Revelation with symbolisms. In verse number 4 now, he said, these are the two olive trees, and two candlesticks, the two olive trees. And the two candlesticks, notice what it is, they're standing before God, the God of the earth. See, he said, now, there are two witnesses, are witnesses for the Lord. They're going to bear witness for this period of time. The holy city is trodden. During this time, they prophesy in sackcloth, a symbol of sorrow and mourning. Christians, after they became Christians, we've seen the black horse, they would suffer persecution. So these witnesses shall be in tribulation. Many of the apostles suffered like Jesus. They died horrible death, beheaded, hung upside down. Christians were beaten. Christians were hung on poles. They poured tar on them, set them afire. Christians suffer. Peter even wrote back to him and said, if any man suffer, let him suffer as a Christian, not as an evildoer. So it was obvious that the witnesses would suffer. They would suffer. First of all, the olive trees, the two candlesticks. The olive tree was a source of oil used to provide for candlesticks. Candlesticks would burn oil and give forth light. It implies that during that period of time, God would give light. God is light. The Bible is light. He said, if you walk in the light, that means following the light. See, in God, there is no darkness at all. 1 John 1:5 through the following verses. So we talk about light. We talk about God. God will give light. That's why David said, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. Brother and sister, the Bible is the light. It shows you direction. It gives you the direction to heaven. That's what's going on here. John is going to be one of those witnesses, and they shall prophesy. And there are two olive trees, two candlelight. Where is the word of God at right now? It's on the earth. Jesus came. Now, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. When Jesus came to the world, he was the light of the world. When the sun refused to shine, Jesus was the S-O-N on the cross. He said he was the light of the world. So the two witnesses, the Old and New Testament, bear light that the Gentiles and the Jews could be saved in one church. In Revelation 11, 5 through 10, through 8, if any man will hurt them, fire proceeded out of their mouth and devoured their enemies. If any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. They have power to shut heaven, and it rained not in the days of their prophecy. Remember, Elijah prayed and it didn't rain. And have power over waters to turn. You remember the plagues turned to blood, the plagues are written in the Old Testament to smite the earth with all plagues. That's all Old Testament. And when they shall finish their testimony, the word of God is considered a testimony. The beast that ascended out of the bottomless pit. You're talking about Satan. We just studied about him. Who was that beast that came out of the bottomless pit? Who was the king? It was Apollyon, Abaddon, that destroyer, that old serpent, the devil, shall make war against them. Who you think you fighting with? You know, let me tell y'all something. Some of us get mad at each other and things like that. Our problem is not each other. No, in this world, our problem is not each other. Our problem is not the political people of this world. Our problem is not the people of the world. I'm going to tell you what our problem is. We're fighting a battle. We're in a warfare. We're in a warfare against the devil. No, we're in a warfare against the devil and his angels. Listen to the Bible, Ephesians chapter 6, and the verses number 10. Look what Paul said. He said this, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Y'all want to know why that man killed George Floyd? He was a murderer. You are of your father, the devil. The devil was a murderer from the beginning. Why is it that 60-some people got shot in Chicago? Why? On one weekend, by other black people. I said, brother, you dealing with? No, I'm talking about sin. Everybody doing it. The devil. The devil called all of us to sin. Every one of us done it. We done sin, y'all. But Paul said, y'all better put on the armor of God. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. It wasn't the white priest, the white police against the black police. Here's what happened. But against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in the high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Stand firm. Hear how we fight? We stand, therefore, having your loins girded about with truth on the breastplate of righteousness. We stay with truth. We live right. We ain't going to kill nobody. Those who stand with God ain't going to kill people. Those who stand with truth are going to live right. We don't cuss back. We don't hit back. We ain't going to burn up no buildings. We ain't going to shoot nobody. Not those of us who are righteous. But the devil's children. Devil's children will lie and they'll kill people. Just understand what the warfare is here. Stand therefore. Put your feet on your feet with the preparation of gospel cry of peace. Don't forget. Everywhere we go, understand this. Carry the good news to the world. How do we change Houston? By carrying the good news on our feet, telling people there's a Savior. There's a God who loved you. There's good news. You don't have to keep living like this. I'm talking to all of us. You don't have to keep lying, cheating, and stealing, and drinking, and getting drunk, and getting no alcohol and drinking smoking marijuana and getting drunk and doing things of that nature. Where do you think that's coming from? That's coming from people who are not living righteous. The world is wicked. And above all, he said, take the shield of faith. You better believe in the Bible. Wherefore you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Who you think shooting at us? Who's shooting at us? Wicked people shooting. He said, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. How are we going to fight against wrong? You better know your Bible. You know, in the time of the time, in the Church of Christ, we were known as Bible people. Speak where the Bible speak and be solid where the Bible is solid. Now some members of the Church of Christ want to go along with anything. Even I hear some of us making racist comments. We better go back to the book and believe what God has said. You'll lose your soul over this foolishness. You got to go back to God. Take the helmet of salvation. Remember, your soul is at stake. Nobody going to stand there with you. You got to keep yourself saved. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. How do we stay saved? Do what God told us. Love your enemy. You love him. The great command is to love God. And love your neighbor. No matter who he is, we love him. Why? What are we trying to do? And then pray always. We got to go down. We got to pray for this world we're living in. That's the problem. So there's going to be the king of that bottomless pit. He's out here, y'all. He's down here making war. Y'all remember when he approached God about Job? God asked him, where you at? Up down on the earth. What you doing? Going to and fro. He in and out of our houses. In and out of our homes. Look how these people are acting on the earth today. God has shut down the sin city. He shut down bars. He shut down casinos. He could shut down some of you going in your lottery tickets. God is dealing with sin in this world. The last time he destroyed this world with water, next time it's going to be with fire. It wouldn't surprise me if God ain't getting tired of it. Everything he's seeing us doing on this earth. Mankind is wicked. The heart is wicked. You got to work on your heart, my brothers and sisters. Let me put myself in there. All of us got to work on our hearts. The change in the world happens in the minds of the people. The man see God and love him. He won't hurt nobody. And they said, listen to this, the two candlesticks, the olive tree candlestick, they burning, light's burning in the world, y'all. We got the Bible. We got what it would need. Let's go back to Revelation. The war is against Satan. You overcome and kill, and the dead bodies shall lie in the street of great city, Jerusalem, where spiritually it's called the Solomon of Egypt. Which also our Lord was crucified. There it is. He bringing it right down to what I just told you. Where was he crucified at? In Jerusalem. Y'all remember what the witnesses said about Sodom? Somebody said, well, Brother Brooks, there was an abomination going on in Sodom. Homosexuality, a whole lot of other stuff going on. It wasn't just homosexuality. Sodom was wicked. God told Lot to get out of there. We know that Jerusalem today is where Jesus was crucified. Sodom was a wicked city. People trying to, we got men kissing on TV now. A man kissing a man is sickening. It's an abomination to God. Homosexuality is a sin just like all other sins. You say, well, Brother Brooks, which one is the worst? The one you die in. You going to die a drunkard? You going to die a homosexuality? You going to die a liar? What's the greatest sin? The one you die in. It's a sin unto death. The one you never repented of, my brothers and sisters. Egypt. Egypt. The children of Israel, you know how they did them. God told them, let my people go. They was in bondage. The children of Israel in bondage. They were slaves to Pharaoh. And God told him, he sent plagues, all that's in the witness, the Old Testament. And God got his people out. He told Moses, go get him. Paraphrasing. Moses went and got him. He didn't think he was able to do it. We can do whatever God give us. God can give us strength to do anything. If we want to follow his word, we can do it. Moses told him to stand still when they got to the Red Sea. Stand still and see the salvation. God parted that water. It stood up like ice, congealed. They walked across on dry land. It wasn't even no mud in the bottom of the Red Sea. Who did that? That was God. Who was Moses obeying? God. Did he deliver them from Egyptian bondage? Yes. Are we in bondage? Yes, we are. We're in bondage to sin. You're servants of whomever you obey. Sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. My friends, you want to live, if you're living in sin, you're in bondage. You're a slave to sin. And here we are. Peter said to those in Jerusalem, when they killed Jesus, he said, by wicked hands, you have slain and crucified Jesus. Acts 2 and verse 23. Now back to Revelation 11, 9. And they are the people, kindreds and tongues and nations. There they are. Everybody shall see the dead bodies 3 days and a half, shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in grave. Still talk about these two witnesses. And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry and send gifts one to another because these two prophets, see that? They ain't talking prophets, tormented them that dwell on the earth. He called the two witness prophets. The Bible is called the book of prophecies, prophets. It came true. Everything is in it. The last book we got ain't fulfilled yet is Revelation. In verse 10, verse 11, rather, he says, and after 3 days and a half, the spirit of life from God entered into them. They stood up on their feet and gave great fear fell upon them, which saw them. These two prophets are given life again. See the Bible. See, they could not write without the spirit guiding them, these two witnesses. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, come hither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. And the same hour was there a great earthquake, and the tenth part of the city fell. The earthquake was slain of men, 7,000. The remnant were affrighted and gave glory to God of heaven, to the God of heaven. What is obvious about these two witnesses, that they were victorious for the cause of God. Yes, they killed him. Yes, they killed him. But God got him up. God raised him up from the dead. And we find all this information in these two witnesses, the Old Testament and the New Testament. So let your light shine before me, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. That's what Jesus told his apostles. And brothers and sisters, we are light. We ought to let our light shine. We're not to be like the world. We're not to be like the world. People ought to walk up on you and see your behavior and see our behavior and say, you know what? Those people must be Christians. There's something different about them. Because why? God put us here. We're his representatives. We are here to represent him. The testimony is not finished. The testimony has been finished by God. He's given us. But we are one. We didn't, I give up, let me give you my testimony. You know, I was laying in the bed and God got me up. That's not the testimony I'm talking about. The testimony is scripture. This is the testimony right here. The scripture that we read. And when we read the scripture, we'll read and we can find the information that's been revealed, and we can find out that what we have is the information that the world needs. The two great witnesses, the two witnesses, you got them in your hand right now. The little book, remember that? The little book. It was given to us by the apostles and the prophets. And let's go to verse 15. Now, verse 14 now. That's the witness. Now, we got the little book And we got the Old Testament, New Testament witness from Revelation 10 and Revelation 11. Now we got verse number 14. He said, the second woe is past, and behold, the third woe coming quickly. Now, I have to finish this morning because it's going to tie back to them seals. Remember, we were near the end of three woes. This is the last of the three woes. Remember that flying angel came in Revelation 8. If you haven't been following these, I can't recap every Sunday. You got to go back and listen to these sermons. Start at verse chapter 1 and listen to all the sermons on our website. The third woe is coming now. Come quickly. The first woe, if y'all remember Revelation 9, 1 through 12, it was these locusts, these hellish looking beasts. And I described them to you. These had scorpion tails. And then the second woe is Revelation 9, 13 through 21. This army of evil influences came from the bottomless pit. When it was opened up, remember he opened up the bottomless pit. The king had a key to it. That's the devil. And his angels came up out of there to destroy those who are not sealed. We talk about that. Now, there's a third woe, because the angel said, whoa, whoa, whoa. There's a third woe, which is, in the beginning we look at seven different seals, the seventh seal of the book that no one could open but Jesus, the Lamb, was worthy open the book. And seal number one, if y'all remember, I give it to you. The white horse, Jesus was on it. The red horse, the Christian was shedding blood. The black horse, seal three. The Christian was suffering, being burnt, killed, hung upside down because they were Christians. The fourth horse, they would die. The pale horse had death on him. All of us gonna ride that one. We might not get burned on those stakes like they did in first century. They may not cut our head off because we call ourselves Christians anymore. But you gonna ride the pale horse. If some rode it last night, some gonna ride it today. It might be me. It might be you. But we got to get on the pale horse. It's called death. The Bible says, Hebrews 9:27, it's appointed unto man once to ride the pale horse. Once to die. Somebody said, I died and came back. You were dead. It's once to die. You die one time. Physical death. That's the pale horse. Then seal number five were the saints who were already dead. After death, they were crying, Lord, how much longer do the other saints got to go through this? How long? The living saint, and God told him, you just wait and you rest. See, because God wanted the world to be saved. That's why the world hasn't ended yet. Yeah. He's still giving us a chance to get our lives together. And then the sixth seal, was his judgment was announced. Remember that? By the four angels were held back. Keep the judgment from starting. Go to Revelation 7. Now in Revelation 11, verse 15, here come the seventh angel from the seventh seal. Okay, the seventh angel sounded, and there was a great voice. Here it is, I'm closing. There were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of the world are become the kingdoms of our Lord. What? The kingdoms of the world have become the kingdoms of our Lord. And what he said. Now, this is going to be important for you to remember. It's going to be important for you to catch this, what I'm getting ready to teach you now. He said, now listen to this. Now listen carefully. He says that the kingdoms of the world have become the kingdoms as of our Lord and his Christ. And he shall reign forever and ever. See, the kingdom of the Lord is the church. Christ reigns as King of Kings forever and ever. There's not a kingdom on this earth that can stand against the kingdom of God, which is the kingdom, which is the church. in 1 Corinthians 15:24, Paul says, then come at the end when you shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. When Jesus got up from the grave, Jesus said, all power has been given unto me. We serve the King of Kings. And then, so he had all power. He translated us from the power of darkness into the kingdom of his dear Son. Colossians 1:13, the following verses. Then 1 Corinthians 15:24, for he must reign till he had put all enemies under his feet. Listen to this. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Death is an enemy. Because we die in our sin right now, y'all. It's the enemy. For he had put all things under his feet. Verse 27. But when he had said all things are put under him, he is manifest that he is accepted, which did put all things under him. And where when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself shall be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. Ain't no kingdom, ain't Russia, China, United States, I don't care what you call them, nobody, no kingdom on this earth can win against the kingdom of God. Even Satan got his, but he can't win. Ephesians 1:17, the Bible said, for the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and the revelation and revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in saints, what is exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe according to the working of his mighty power. Watch this now in verse 20. I'm in Ephesians 1:20. I'm going to nail the kingdom. Which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, set him on his right own right hand in heavenly places. Verse 21, for above all principalities, power. Remember Ephesians 6 a while ago? We fight not against flesh and blood, brother. It's principality. He says, for all principality, power, might, dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is come. And watch this. Verse 22, tie back to 1 Corinthians 24. He said, and put all things under his feet. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:27, he had put all things under his feet. 1 Corinthians 15:24, then come to the end when he actually delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father. Now Paul says in Ephesians 1:22, and put all things under his feet. There's your tie. And gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body. So what kingdom would he deliver up? It's going to be the church. 1 Corinthians 15:24. Then come at the end, we had delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father. Ephesians 1:22, he put all things on his feet, get him the head of all things to the church, which is his body. The church is the body. The body is the church, and the church is the kingdom. Colossians 1:33. So now, verse 13 and the following verse, you read that. Go back and read that. Well, my point here is, and the point here is important in Revelation, what he's saying there in Revelation now, yeah, is this. We give, and the 420 elders which sat before God on their feet fell upon their faces and worshiped God, saying, we give thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which are and was and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and has reigned. The elders worship and praise God for his power, and we worship today. And thank God, we worship him. It is through the power of the cross that we are reigned today as Christians. In Romans 1:16, Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. To everyone that believe it, to the Jew first, watch this now, here come the other ones into it, and the Greek. This kingdom came with power. Jesus told his apostles, in Mark chapter 9 that it was going to happen while they were living. And Mark 9, he said unto them, verily I say unto you, there be some of them that stand here which shall not taste the death. He told them, you will not die. You're going to see the kingdom come, the kingdom of God come with power. Yes, the kingdom is here. It is the kingdom of God. The King of Kings is Christ. And Jesus had all power given unto him in heaven and in earth. There's no kingdoms that can stand against him. That's what Daniel said. Daniel 2:44. All of us are in the kingdom, our church that reigns through Jesus Christ. Romans 5:17. For by one man's offense, death reigned by one. Much more, they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. In closing, last two verses. The nations were angry. The wrath is come and the time of the dead, and they shall be judged, and that they shall give reward unto the servants. Know who they get the reward? The servants, the prophets, to the saints. I remember Paul said, the time of my departure is at hand. That was one of the men who wrote from the witness. But Jesus told them, you're going to be my witness throughout all Judea. They were witnesses. They know Jehovah's Witnesses living today. It's not such a thing as the Jehovah's Witnesses. The witnesses wrote the scripture. And I serve the prophets and the saints and them that fear thy name, small and great. John said in Revelation, he said, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. This is the scene of the judgment, y'all. And the books were open. That's that little book. The two witnesses going to be open. So I said, well, you can't judge nobody, Brother Brooke. You already getting judged. John 12:48. But he that rejected me received not my word. And the one that judged him, the words that I have spoken, the same. So judge the last day. Every time you open this book, you're being judged. And I can judge you. I can judge righteous judgment. That's what Jesus said. What is righteous judgment? If I tell you that Jesus said, repent and be baptized, and you don't repent and be baptized, I can say you didn't obey God. Why? Because it's already written. In verse 19, and the temple of God was open in heaven, and there was seen in this temple the ark of his testament. There's a testament. Old Testament. And there were lightnings and voices and thunders and earthquake and great hail. This is obvious to me. Judgment hadn't started. We know judgment when the temple of God, but the book's going to be open, y'all. The book's going to be open. And another book's going to be open, which is the book of life. If your name is not in the book of life, you are in trouble. You're in trouble. You get your name in the book of life by being baptized and adding. God adds you to it. But you live in sin, he'll take your name right out of it. So we got the Ark of his Testament. We got the covenants. We got the old covenant. We got the new covenant. And today we are New Testament Christians. We are under the new law, the new covenant. That's the covenant where you got to be baptized for the remission of sins. In that covenant, there's one church, the Church of Christ. In that covenant, you take the Lord's Supper every Sunday, not on the first Sunday. In that covenant, you don't call your preacher reverend. Father, Matthew 23:7-9, call no man father. You're all brethren. In that covenant, you sing. There was no instrumental music. They had no mechanical instruments of music. They had no choir. Every Christian in this covenant to go to the altar or to worship, this witness said, they speak to themselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in their hearts to the Lord. So if you're a New Testament Christian, you're in the Church of Christ. You sing. You don't have no choir. You ain't got no pianist. You take the Lord's Supper every Sunday. You hear from the two witnesses, the Old and New Testament. This is why I'm under charge, to preach the word, to be instant in season, out of season, to reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. That's my charge. I got to take heed unto the doctrine, that I may save myself and them that hear me. So I ain't going to let no man tell me what to preach. If you seek to please men, you're not the servant of Christ. No, I'm going to preach what the witnesses said. It's going to be bitter sometimes, and sometimes it's going to be sweet. There's some preachers want you to have all the sweet. They sugarcoat it. Now, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. I'm going to say it just like it is. And why? Because that's why he gave it to us, the little book. They told him to eat the book. He said it was bitter. It was sweet when it went in my mouth. It was bitter when it got in my stomach. Some things in the Bible are bitter. Man, if you die in your sin, that's bitter. Whosoever not found and written in the Lamb's Book of Life was cast to the lake of fire. That's bitter. The good news is good news. The sweet thing is Jesus came to save sinners. Like us, God commended his love toward us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died. So here it is. That's what I'm telling you. So the lesson is this. The two witnesses, you got it in your hand right now. You read the Old Testament, New Testament. If you're on the call today, you're not a Christian. Remember this. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise. 2 Peter 3:9. As some men count slackness, he's long-suffering. You're still alive. He's giving you a chance. Not willing that any should perish, but all come to repentance. So if you want to be saved today, you can do like your young lady did. She's been listening. She baptized him yesterday. Baptized him. Yeah, baptized him. Just showed it. She's been hearing the gospel. Wanted to know more. At the end, her boyfriend said, well, we're going to let her think. She said, no, you're not. I ain't thinking about it. I need to get baptized now. So that's when you know. See, when you get it, you get it. Yeah, she's our sister. I hope she's on this morning. I'm sure she is. Sister V. I couldn't pronounce her first name, Sister V. Sister Hines, I think her last name is. I'm like that. Y'all know I'm not really good at name, but I know she's my sister in Christ. She got that. She's wearing that new name called Christian. Yeah, Christian. That's what you are. She's a Christian. She obeyed the gospel. What do you say? She had to repent. So if you're on the call today, you want to be saved, you got to obey what's in this little book. And so what's in the little book is that I preach the gospel. I've been doing it all through this sermon. How Christ suffered, bled, and died on the cross. They beat him with a whip, spit on him, slapped him, put a crown of thorns on him, led him up a hill called Calvary, put nails in his hands and his feet. And on that cross, he became the lamb, the one, the last one that was slain, the last lamb. He was led the sheep to the slaughter. They killed him. It was a bloody scene. He was bloody. His whole vesture was bloody, dipped in blood from all the blood he shed. But it's that same blood, called in Revelation 1:5, that washed your sins away. In Acts 22:16, Ananias told Saul, who were killing Christians, he was killing them, persecuting the church. God knocked him down. Jesus knocked him down on the road to Damascus. Paul started trying to pray the sinner's prayer. So God sent Ananias to him. In Acts 22:16, Ananias told Saul, get up, arise, why tarriest thou? Be baptized. Do what God told you to do. Be baptized. Wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. There's no sense in praying. You can't pray until you've been washed. You got to get washed in the blood. Got to get your sin washed away. You hold your breath under the water. When we take you down under the water, you're a dead sinner. Dead people don't breathe. You come up out of the water. I told that young lady yesterday, and she came up out of the water. I said, you took the first breath you ever took as a child of God. When a baby come into the world, he break water. When he break water, and they spank him, he started screaming, taking a breath. When you come up out of the water, God then spank you. It's time to take your first breath, and then you come up a baby and cry. That's why you got to come to worship. That's why you got to study, because the word of God is bread and meat. It's milk to the baby. You know, some of us still on milk, just like we just got spanked, because we don't study our Bible. You don't study the witnesses. You got to learn how to walk, talk. Got to learn how to live the Christian life. And so I'm talking to a new convert. New converts on the phone. Just been baptized. You got to stay on the call. Get the word of God in you that you can grow. You'll grow to be a mature Christian. And some of you still on milk and meat. You need to be on strong meat. You can't handle it. It'll choke you because you haven't studied enough. Go back to the basics. That's what the good thing we're hearing from this gospel means. People, Church of Christ, people being reminded of the milk of the word, the basics of what we believe and why. Many of our children are leaving the Lord because they don't know the basics. We believe in the Church of Christ that the Bible is right. If you're on the call this morning, we believe those two witnesses, they have witnessed to you even through the preaching of the word this morning. You got to hear the gospel. Acts 15:7. You hear the word of the gospel and believe it after that. Number two, you believe. Number three, you repent. Number four, you got to confess with your mouth what your heart's been made to believe, Acts 8:37. That is that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And after you hear, after you believe, after you repent, after you make that confession that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, Jesus said himself that confession must be made before men. Matthew 10, verse 32, he said, he that confessed me before men, him will I confess before my Father. He that denied me before men, him will I would deny. If you don't, and then also the scene of judgment is this, every knee will bow and every mouth will confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So you're going to do it. You're going to do it. You're going to have to make that confession. You should do like that young lady did yesterday. I asked, I said, you believe Jesus Christ, Son of God? She said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. She made that confession before me and her boyfriend, and we baptized her. Why? Because she made that noble confession. That confession brought death to Jesus. Y'all know that, though. If you say he's the Son of God, you confess it. Because he was the Son of God, they killed him. They said he was. You say he's the Son of God, he did. He did. In Matthew chapter 6, they said, Jesus asked Peter, who they say this, I am. He said, thou art the Son of God. That's who he was. After Christ, the Son of the living God. You got to make that confession. And then after that, you got to be baptized. You got to be baptized. You got to be baptized. Why baptism? Because it's in baptism where you contact the blood. It's the blood that was shed on the cross for men and for the remission of sins. Acts 2:38, Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for remission of sin. Remission means forgiveness. You got to be forgiven. The only way you can, your first baptism, if you're not a member of Church of Christ, that baptism wasn't no good. You got to be baptized according to truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth only thing you set you free. Romans 6:16 tell us that we are set free from sin. Yeah. You serve to whom you obey. You got to obey the doctrine. And when you obey the doctrine, that's the teaching of the New Testament. When you obey the teaching of the New Testament, you can be free from sin because you're slave to sin right now. Yeah. And so Peter, when he was talking to the Jews and Gentiles, he rose up, stood, men and brethren, you know, a good time ago, God made choice among us that the Gentiles, by my mouth, shall hear the word of the gospel and believe. We are Gentiles. If you're not a Jew, you're a Gentile. You got to hear the word of the gospel and believe it. Now, if you believe it, you're going to repent. If you repent, you're going to make a confession. Once you make that confession, we'll baptize you. You just call us, let us know. We got probably 800, 900 people listening. I know some of you are not members of the Church of Christ. You need to get to the closest Church of Christ you can get to. You get in touch with us. I'll get you, no matter where you are, if you're not in Houston, we'll find a sound Church of Christ. And you can get baptized today. Don't wait till tomorrow. The light is shining now. You need to get baptized. If you're on the call today and you're in the Houston area, you want to get baptized today, you let us know. You can hit 5-star on your phone. We're getting ready to sing the invitation song. You can say, I want to be baptized today. I'll tell you that we'll make arrangements. Somebody will meet you at the building. We'll baptize you today. We'll baptize you this morning. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. We'll baptize you this morning because we believe in these two witnesses. We believe there's a heaven to win and a hell to miss. But you know what, y'all? We are all here because of the grace and mercy of God. If you're on the call today, you say, man, thank God for giving me the chance to hear this message. Thank God for giving me a chance to repent of my sin, to come home. I've been prodigal. I left Brother Brooks. I'm coming back. I want to be faithful again. You come by asking God to forgive you. You're a Christian. All you got to do is say, brother, sister, I have sinned. I'm coming home. You know, you confess your fault one to another. We don't need to know what you're doing. We're not worried about that. Sin is sin. The greatest one is going to be the one you die in. But God is giving you a chance to come home. So I'm talking to those who are not members of Church of Christ. You're going to have to obey the gospel, be baptized. Those who are members of Church of Christ, if you left the Lord, you're in bad shape. Just like that pig went back to the mud. And a dog who ate mama after he threw it up. God's a disgusting sight in the sight of God. Won't you come home? And then those who need prayer, we're going to, if you hit 5-star on yourself, Brother Gulick, to lead us in song. We're going to take prayer requests. We're going to take those who want to make confession, be baptized. We want those who want to restore and come home. The two witnesses have spoken. And the Bible is complete. is finished. Now it's up to you. Brother Gulix.
Your grace and mercy brought me through. I'm living this moment because of you. I want to thank you and praise you too. Your grace and mercy brought me through. Thank you for saving a sinner like me, to tell the world salvation is free. There were times when I just didn't do right, but you watched over me both day and night. Your grace and mercy brought me through. I'm living this moment because of you. I want to thank you and praise you too. Your grace and mercy brought me through.